on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Alora Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast, to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the On Air Indie Show. Welcome and enjoy episode 55. First, music history for June 21st. Johnny Lee Hooker, American blues singer and guitarist, died in his sleep, aged 83, this day in 2001. He rose to fame performing an electric guitar style adaptation of Delta blues. Many artists, including Cream, AC/DC, ZZ Top, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, Van Morrison, The Yardbirds, The Doors, and The White Stripes have covered his songs. He appeared and sang in the 1980 movie The Blues Brothers with his hit Boom Boom. The Shot Window is on the podcast today to show us a glimpse of their incredible debut album, The State of Being Human. The Shot Window are a four-strong Django Pop indie guitar band fronted by partners Carl Mann and Simon Sid Oxley from Maidstone, Kent, UK. Enjoy the show. Okay. Hi, guys. Thank you for coming onto the podcast today.
Hi, Shay.
Hiya.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Sid. Yeah, it's really great to have you back on the show for the second time. It's awesome. It's
good to be back, and yes. Thank you for getting us back.
Thank you, indeed.
But okay. So what have you guys been up to?
Very, very busy with album promo, because the album's out on the physical releases, so the vinyl and CD, are out on the 25th June.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just been kind of flat out working on that, really. And we've been doing a lot of writing, haven't we, Sid? Beginning of this year, we spent, you know, we were kind of on a roll, and for 4 months, we've practically written our second album.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is incredible, because I think I've seen you twice in that time.
But it's just
the power of technology. But yeah, we've been very busy doing that. And I mean, that's all ready to kind of take into a studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
And will that be out before the end of the year?
No, it won't. No, because we're going to record it in two batches. So the first batch we'll record probably, well, we're booked in the studio to record a batch of songs in August.
Yeah.
And then we'll go and record spring next year. We'll go and record another batch, and we'll choose our second album from that. So, you know, maybe sometime next year there'll be the second album.
Well, it's a good time to release. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that. Makes sense.
But it's kind of all about the debut album right now, though, and, you know, promoting that.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about that. Thank you for sending that. I did purchase it, but the 7-inch vinyl is so cool.
Thank you.
It's so cool. Thank you. I love it. Yeah, I got a turntable for Christmas. Yeah, so
everything sounds better on vinyl, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just the it's not about the audio quality. It's been able to hold a sleeve as well, isn't it? A picture, and, you know, reading some stuff and hold it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a wonderful thing, I think.
Well, yeah, I used to spend hours as a teen reading the sleeves. Hours.
Absolutely. I still do that. I still do it.
Yeah.
I used to stick them on my wall as well.
Yeah, it would give you an insight into the band, right? Yeah.
I think it's really important. I've always felt very drawn to artwork. I mean, I collected bands for their artwork. I was always a big fan of them, and they used to do really good record covers. And so I've always thought it's a really important thing to get that right, because it speaks about the band as well. You know, and when you get terribly designed stuff, you know, you kind of, I think it can reflect a lot on the music if you're not careful.
It also draws you into the world of a band, doesn't it? You know, I always remember from being a young teenager, being drawn into the imagery of the Smiths. covers.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just thinking it was so cool. And they're still cool, those covers. They still look good, you know. They're just timeless, really. And, you know, so Shay, Sid does most of our kind of artwork style. We sort of work together and I give him a sort of idea and then he goes away and sorts it and comes up with his own interpretation.
Wow. I thought he had done some, but you do all of it, Sid?
Well, I don't paint them. So the covers we've been using, I find the images. Although ideas we've been working on for the next load of stuff, I've kind of been more designing. But yeah, kind of layout and just finding the right thing and the band logo and everything. I love doing stuff like that. And
it's vibe as well, isn't it? It's like finding the right vibe that fits stylistically how we kind of sound. And
yeah, I send Carl images at midnight. And he'll come back in the morning and go, yeah, I like that one. Like that one. That one's great. So we kind of, it's a great way of working though, because we just, you know, I'm bouncing ideas around and when we find the right one, it goes into the pot, you know.
So first off, the artwork's incredible. I love it. In building this album, did you have to do most of it remote because of restrictions or were you able to get in the studio?
So here's the story. So we'd pretty much rehearsed up all the songs, not all of them, but most of them, just before lockdown of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple that were on the album that weren't. And then when we did get into the studio, so actually before we got into the studio, we were sort of rehearsing remotely, as in bouncing files around and demos that we could use as a guide for in the studio.
Yeah.
Because when we actually got in the studio, it was between lockdown one and two.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed the full band in at any one time. So it was only two members at a time. So I basically sat out the whole thing. Went through the whole thing, but had fill in first on drums, did 2 days with him, and then 2 days with Martin after that. And then I did my vocals and guitars, and then Sid came in and did his vocals and some keyboards. Mm-hmm. And then it was mixed. So we actually recorded the album without any of us being in the studio at the same time together.
And actually, I don't think I've been in the same room with the four of us since February last year.
No, you haven't.
So, you know, it's just the way it's been.
Oh, okay. Have you opened up yet?
We're getting there. No.
We're getting there. We're close. So myself, Martin and Phil, we've been rehearsing recently for the next batch of recording. But Sid lives in Dorset, so he's kind of, what, you're like 3 hours away kind of thing, aren't you?
Yeah, a couple of hours.
What we do is we sort of get in the rehearsal room, the three of us, and we get the engine oiled up and serviced and everything sounding great. And then we get Sid to come in, rehearse his bit up with us. Because, it takes a lot to sort of fine tune the drum parts and bass parts and guitar bits. And, you know, we sort of get Sid in to add the icing on the cake towards the end of that once we've done all that sort of work. And then we'll, you know, we head into the studio again. But we've got a couple of gigs booked, so after the studio, we'll be rehearsing as a full band for those gigs.
Yeah, awesome, awesome.
About time as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, when I first saw the title, "The State of Being Human," I anticipated something so somber. And maybe a bit dark, which isn't like you guys, but I that's what I anticipated. I was blown away. Like, I am blown away especially with the three tracks that I've heard that we're going to listen to tonight. Like, completely, I'm being blown away. Like, you can still see your influences, but you have definitely, it's definitely your sound. Like, you definitely, it's the shop window. Like,
you did amazing.
I was blown away. And I get to know you before you become on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be.
That's lovely to hear, though. Thank you so much.
No, I really love it. I really love it. It's amazing. We met, almost a year and a half ago?
Yeah, it was different. Yeah, it was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I honestly, I don't mean to keep repeating it. I was literally blown away when I heard the tracks. It was great. And the first one we're going to listen to is Ride It While You Can.
Oh, excellent.
Which one of you want to tell me a bit about that track?
This, so I'm going to talk a little bit and I'm going to hand over to Sid for this.
Okay.
So this is probably, this was actually the first co-write between me and Sid on this album.
Okay.
And so one evening, Sid sent me this little voice memo. He's like, I've got this amazing chorus. Check this out. And I had to listen to it. And I was like, that is brilliant, mate, but it's not a chorus. It's a verse. Give me 20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes. And I think I'd had a few beers, but I went and picked up my guitar and came up with something. And I already had his lyrics he'd sent because he came up with this vocal line for the verse.
Yeah.
And so I picked a couple of lines out of this sheet of lyrics that he'd sent over previously and came up with this chorus, and I sent it back to him. He's like, that's it, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll hand over to Sid now to tell you what the song's about, because he wrote the lyrics on this.
Okay.
Yeah, so I suppose it was, I mean, there is a little bit of darkness in this, in a sense. It was very much kind of, I suppose in a way I may have been writing it for my son. It was that whole idea of, you know, the world now is moving so fast and it's not going to stop. And you kind of, you got to get on it while you can and make the most of it. But at the same time, you know, not kind of destroy yourself in the process. So that's kind of the idea behind, you know, it's moving at lightning speeds. And it's also, I suppose it's kind of, I think Carl and I have got to the point where we're a certain age and we've got kids, and you start thinking, you know, you've got one shot at this. So just grab those, go for your dreams when you can. Don't waste time.
Enjoy the journey rather than regretting what you haven't done.
But don't bust a gut at the same time, because, you know, the world does move too fast. And I think some of the sentiments on the album are observations of maybe, you know, what isn't great about things, you know. So I suppose there's a slightly kind of twisted underside to this, the lyrics of this song, in that sense.
I think we always try and add an element of hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't worry with everything.
Which I think is kind of, yeah, definitely.
It's on, us though, isn't it? It's basically, that's
yeah, the and I think the chorus lyrics on that particularly, it's kind of that tear a new page from the book, you know, it's kind of, well, you know, just get on with it kind of thing. And so, yeah, it's a mixed message, but it's definitely an observational thing. And I think probably coming from an older us, you know, in terms of, I think probably thinking about your children, which, which is something that happens to you at a certain age.
Yeah. That's part of it.
But, you know, that song, it's, I'm glad you're playing it, because as Carl said, it's quite a defining moment. I mean, I suppose because when we introduced it to the rest of the band and we said, you know, this is the first Carl Sid composition, and that felt really good. It felt like a really important moment.
Yeah.
Not that Carl needs me to write songs, because Carl's an immensely brilliant songwriter on his own, but it's lovely to share ideas. And it's really, I just also love the fact that I had this tune, and, you know, you kind of think, is this good? You know, and I was convinced because I kept having it stuck in my head. So it was really brilliant when Carl kind of went, yeah, we can do some of this. And to hear it as a song, it's kind of a really defining moment. So it's a very special tune for me, that song.
I do hear the message, and that's conflicting. It's the way the music made me feel. Like, there's just so much positive energy that I felt. It just uplifted me. Good. It motivated me. I loved it. I was... One song was on the beach, the other song I was at barbecue. Like it is, you know, all the good things that you missed the past year. I just thought it was really outstanding. I love the beginning of the song.
You know, like all songs, it's also important that people take from it what they feel from it as well.
Oh,
you know, it doesn't because I think with many songs, it's also nice to kind of take your own meaning out of things and apply it to yourself.
Absolutely. And I think from a sort of musical stance as well, as long as like it marries with the lyric and creates an emotion of some sort, then, you know, mm-hmm. that's a win of sorts, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You did well. So we're going to listen to Write It While You Can right now. Was the psychedelic influence intentional?
I listen to so much music, Shay. I mean, you know, obviously I have my favorite sort of focus, but as I've got older, the width of what I listen to is so broad, you know, from pop to even, you know, even 50s and even occasionally 1920s. And, but, you know, and indie is such a massive world of subgenres now as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's absolutely psychedelic influence in there. Yeah.
Well, I like that part. I like that part. Was the album a whole concept of that you wanted, like a message? Does the album have a message to people?
Do you want to take this one, Sid?
Me?
Yeah, you start this one.
Well, I'm
opening a beer. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm feeling left out now. I think it is. I think it's very much about all facets of being a human. And, you know, Mannequin Lies is about dealing with kind of a depression, kind of depressive state. I think that Evacuate is very much about kind of finding the right person and moving forward with that. So all the songs, I think, are very much touching on what it is to be human, very much. I mean, Disengage the Robots is about kind of perhaps a human dependency on gadgets and spending too much time, you know, staring at screens. I think all of them are, every single bit of it is looking at some aspect of the human condition.
And where we're at kind of thing, really.
And where we're at, yeah. Definitely. So I guess that makes a concept album, which is funny because the new stuff we've been writing, I think, also works in the terms of a concept album as well. So
it's got slightly different focus on the new one, but absolutely. Similar vein.
Yeah, we won't say what it is at the moment, but yeah, definitely, it's a different focus, but still trying to look at similar kind of subjects.
It continues the theme in a way, doesn't it? But it kind of focuses on an angle.
Yeah. Which I think it's good. It's good to have something to write about, to kind of think about, actually. And it makes, you know, with writing all the lyrics, I think it kind of helps to kind of guide them as well, because you know that you're trying to kind of say something about a certain subject, you know.
When this all sort of started, it was just me writing. But I love having Sid a part of this now in the writing with lyrics and sort of the occasional vocal melody, because I really think it breaks it up and adds a bit more flavour to the whole thing rather than if it was all just my perspective. And I just think it adds and brings so much more to the table, having these sort of few songs here and there that Sid sort of, you know, have hatched from his mind.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to hear that. And the good thing is, I think, is that we've known each other so long now that it's very easy, because I think we get each other. And I think, and also it's, you know, it's very easy. If something's not working, there's no issue. You know, it's kind of like, fine, we'll just try something else, you know.
That's rubbish. Let's do something else.
Yeah. But I think that's a really key thing as well. I think it's kind of, I've lost my train of thought now. What were you talking about?
I actually think that is part of the reason, or probably a lot of the reason, why there's such great energy in the music you create. Because I was thinking about that. Because you two have known each other quite a long time.
Yeah.
And got back together to the shop window after a lot of life experiences, or normal stuff, getting married and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of growing up, really. And
And I actually think, I think it adds to you as a band. I really do.
I would just like to add, though, that neither of us have turned into grown-ups yet. But that's
no, men don't.
No, you're absolutely right. My wife would totally agree with you on that one.
I can say that with a valid point, because I have two sons. But that's the beauty of men. That's the beauty of men. What was the message in Flags? We're going to hear that next.
Okay.
So this is a absolute Sid song, as in he wrote the lyrics, and it was another one that actually you were around the house, weren't you? And it, and you're like, I got this kind of vocal idea, and it goes a bit like this.
Okay.
So I sort of recorded his vocal idea on my phone.
Yeah.
And then okay. I changed it a bit to make it a bit more shop window, because it wasn't sort of how we were. And yeah, just tweaked a few things, and but all the lyrics are Sid's on this track. And yeah. It was one that actually, when we went into the studio, it was one that we weren't sure of. Like the demo was half finished, and we were like, let's just try and tag it on the end of recording at the studio and see how it turns out. And I think I came up with like a guitar line, which sort of transformed it a bit. And then in whatever we did in the studio, I think Sid put some extra R's down on the choruses and stuff. And all of a sudden it came to life, and it was like, oh yeah, actually, this is great. This really works.
Yeah, it's a great track.
So oh, Sid, well. Lyrics.
Lyrics. Okay. Well, I suppose, it's what you read into it. I mean, to me, it was just about somebody positive in your life that you could kind of say, you know, it's kind of, you're a beacon, I guess. There are undertones of kind of, it can also sound a bit revolutionary. I read an interesting review where someone was saying, you know, it's kind of saying, you know, rise up. And I'd never really thought about that. It was more about somebody being on a pedestal for the right reasons, and that, you know, you're kind of, you know, they're your shining light type thing. They're your moment of hope, and they're your beacon in the darkness.
Okay.
But it's great if, you know, if people are seeing other things in lyrics, then it's fantastic, because obviously to me, you know, it's kind of written about people in my mind, but obviously for other people, they're going to see other things in it. So
Sid's, I was just going to say, Shay, Sid is a genius at writing ambiguous lyrics, which you can, so many people can find their own thing in.
Okay.
And he's very good at writing a lyric that means something to him, but he leaves it open for interpretation for others to, you know, find their own hope or thing inside it.
Yeah.
My lyrics are a bit more direct, like a diary.
Okay.
I just try, and I don't know, I guess I try and make it ambiguous, because I kind of, sometimes I write things down and I cringe. So I go, right, I need to make this so it kind of, it can be just read in several ways. I mean, you know, the chorus lyrics, you know, if they raise their flags to you, I'll wave mine high. And so it's just kind of basic, you know, if people are shouting, praising your name, I'll go one step higher. But again, as I said, I think people, the review I'd read recently kind of, okay. I think, seen it more as a kind of, you know, fight for your rights, which is fine, great, you know, it can mean many things, so that's good.
If everybody interprets art the same way, then it's not doing what it's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. It. And you know, yeah. We all love songs, and we can all love the same song, but have a million different reasons why we love that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's 100%. At the end of the day, it's fine, whatever. You know, I know what it means to me, but if it means something different to someone else, brilliant. You know, that's what it's all about. So, yeah.
And, you know, melody is the universal language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
YouTube and I think, song.
And yeah, Carl's right there, because I think with everything that we've done, melody is absolutely the key thing. It's that hook and that melody. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, Carl is great at writing. Whenever he sends me demos, and you're like, wow, that's stuck in my head already, and that's such a key thing. And I think probably growing up loving songs with lots of melody as well, you know, you can't beat a melody, and there's nothing worse than hearing a song that just doesn't seem to address melody, because it's like, well, where is it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And how does that make you feel as an artist, that other artists are putting music out there like that?
I just find sometimes I struggle to understand some music. I guess it's because personally, I'm sure Carl is the same. We're very motivated by melody. I guess
there needs to be some sort of instant connection before you play the paper, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. But we're obviously not putting down anyone else's music. Because all music is great.
No, of course not. It's just a critique. It's just a critique.
Yeah, it's what we it's what we kind of respond to. And I just find I listen to some music and I just find the absence of melody. I struggle with it because I like to hear melodies. But and hooks, you know, and just kind of just interesting things. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And you can find melody in so many different genres of music, which is great. You know, melody is all over the place. It's just sometimes I find I hear stuff on the radio and I just think it just feels bland because there's an absence of melody. And that's just how my ears work, I guess.
And sometimes it's an absence of edge or soul, isn't it? Or, you know, humanity.
Or depth.
Sometimes
there's or depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that some of the music out there is a bit too thin?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, because of technology now and the way people can record and stuff, there's such an emphasis on perfection. Mm-hmm. But for me, that strips music of its human soul and heart. If something 100%. Is perfect, you know, it's the tiny flaws and imperfections and you know, I'm not a great singer, but I do my best.
I love your voice.
Yeah, but I'm not an actual singer, you know, and it's like I listen to most of my favorite singers can't really sing, but they have character, you know. It's that kind of thing. It's character and humanity and real feeling of people in a song is what makes it tick for me.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection doesn't really work in music for me. I like to hear things that are real, and I don't like every singer to sound the same. I don't like every guitarist to be like, you know, someone who's knows everything about music theory, because they'll never try anything outside of the box if they know everything about music theory. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, what they play might be absolutely right, but it doesn't mean it's great, you know.
I love every style of music, but what I find is there's just different styles of music that I do. I put on when I'm working out, or put on when I want to be mellow, or I put on when I want to go to the beach. They're very specific. And there's others that I put on, you know, when I really need motivation. And
I've been listening to Glen Campbell today.
Oh wow!
Which will probably surprise people. Yeah. And you know, Wichita Lyman, Galveston. I love those tunes. They're brilliant.
Yeah.
He did a very interesting version of Times Like These by the Foo Fighters.
That's okay. I grew up with Roy Rogers, so.
Cool.
So we're gonna listen to Flags right now. So this album's 12 tracks?
Yeah, 12 tracks.
Okay.
So it was originally going to be 10 tracks because I had this thing in my head that 10 track albums are classic albums. So I had this massive thing in my head. But then so Sad Eyes wasn't going to be on the album. And it had such a great response as a single release end of last year that we were kind of like, we're going to be, it's silly not to have it on the album.
Oh, so it's on the album.
So yeah, it is on the album now, but then it was 11 tracks. And I'm like, I don't like this unbalance of like, you know, five tracks on one side and six on the other. So yeah. there's a track at the end of the album, which is a lullaby that I wrote for my, it's an instrumental track that I wrote for my little boy when he was still in the womb of his mum, my wife.
Oh,
and we were both working on a movie in the South Island in New Zealand when I wrote this song, and Kat, my wife, was pregnant with him. And it was just a little acoustic thing. I just wanted to kind of, you know, just wrote to calm him and give him some music while he was in the womb. And I recorded it while we were still living in New Zealand. I recorded it on my own. And it just seemed like a wonderful track to end our album with, really.
It's beautiful.
So, Jack's Lullaby is the last track on the album. And it's 12 tracks now.
That's amazing. Now that you brought up Sad Eyes, how was your grandmother?
She's going strong. Hopefully going to see her next week, actually.
How old is she now?
She's 104, but August the 2nd, she is 105.
Unbelievable.
I know, it's incredible.
And she had COVID.
And she had COVID at Christmas and beat it. Yeah.
And beat that as well. She is incredible.
Good for her. Yeah. She got through that.
She's seen two world wars and COVID.
Just give a listeners a bit of a snapshot what Sad Eyes is about, because I may have thrown a curve to them asking about your grandma.
So Sad Eyes, I wrote that song after I went to visit my grandmother in the home that she's in, which is a lovely home. And, you know, obviously she's like 104 now, and she's a lot slower, but she's still got her faculties and she still understands stuff. And we sat there, we're watching football together and having an ice cream. But it just, that meeting up and that time with her then just really affected me. And on the drive home, it was just, you know, going through my head, the whole aging process. And as soon as I got home, I picked up a guitar, and that song was literally written in 10, 15 minutes after that visit.
Yeah, you told me that before.
Yeah.
Song.
But yeah, she's still good and incredible woman, you know.
Did she get a letter from the Queen when she turned 100?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was with her when she opened it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She's an absolute rock.
Well, thank you for sharing that with Grandma. Okay, the last track that we're going to listen to, which is up next, is Break Down the Walls. Who wrote this song? Was it a co-write or did Sid write it?
That's cool. That's all Carl, that one.
All Carl, okay. That's great. Can you tell us about the song, Carl?
Okay, so this is, I'll probably never tell them this, but it's actually about members of my family. You know, I grew up in a very sheltered, naive little bubble in a small village in Kent. And it's kind of about their fear of taking a risk to move on in life, or, you know, kind of, you know, being scared of their own shadow, and just every day is just about existence and survival rather than what can we go and explore, you know. And we had a very difficult childhood, myself, my sister and mum. You know, my dad was abusive and a drunk and violent. And I mean, it's kind of about, you know, they've fortunately for myself, I kind of managed to escape that fear and go and explore and take risks. And you know, I've had a wonderful adult life because of that and seen so much, but they haven't really done that and traveled or seen much, and that they still live within this small kind of community bubble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it breaks my heart sometimes that I haven't seen them really experience what life can offer. And I guess that song is a bit about that.
I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
That's beautiful. You didn't know that?
No, it's funny actually, because we've never really discussed what that song was about.
It's the first time I've discussed it with anyone there.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I can relate to that.
It's kind of about, you know, break down those walls of fear and anxiety and take a risk, and you can see what, you know, how wonderful life can be.
Dave, have you got a budgie or a parrot in your house?
that's George.
George.
Who's
George? That's George. George is my love bird. My studio is in the sunniest part of the house. And before I built the studio, it was George's room. And I don't have the heart to move George. This is a true story. So I've tried to put a dark bird cover on him, like, you know, during. I've tried many things, and he sings louder when there's music going. And honestly, I've had blankets on him, quieted him down, everything, and he still sings. So I just go with the flow. That's the way. So that's George. So.
Cool.
Hi, George. George sounds good.
He's actually a really cool bird. So we're going to listen to Break Down the Walls right now.
Shoulder, you're getting chased by your own fear.
of these tracks, and Sad Eyes is any indication of the rest of the album, it's going to be a smashing hit. Like, you guys outdid yourself.
Thank you, Shay. That's lovely to hear.
Yeah. I really love the music. You can tell you put your heart and soul into the music.
Definitely.
Yeah, we put everything into making this record.
Yeah, well, you can tell.
Yeah, I think we've put 25 years worth of everything into making it.
Yeah, there was a really intense period, last year.
Yeah.
Where I personally was just like, I am going to make this the best thing I've ever done, and I'm determined to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Everything that was going on, and I just put every ounce of energy, sweat, and everything into making this record happen.
It comes across. So where is the best place for people to follow you so they get pre-orders and notices? And
okay, so you can pre-order the physical, so like the vinyl or the CD, over on our Bandcamp.
It's out on vinyl again?
Yep, vinyl album. Okay. Yeah, so you can order it on our Bandcamp or via the label that are putting it out for us, Spin Out Nuggets. Their website is spinoutproductions.com.
Okay.
So you can order via them or just direct through us at Bandcamp.
Okay.
And then the digital release is going to follow a week later on, I think, the 2nd of July.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. I'm definitely adding it.
We're very active on Twitter for anyone who's on Twitter and wants to, occasionally have a chat with us. We're always on there.
Yeah, I notice every time I'm on, you're on.
Yeah, we're sort of part of a great sort of music community and bunch of folks on Twitter. And yeah, it's sort of, that's the one that works best for us, I think.
Okay, good. So Twitter or Bandcamp? Well, I follow you on Bandcamp. I get the notice. Well, you know, girl, send an email to you. Well,
thank you.
That? Yeah, well, that's good. I didn't
know. I made a mess of the Bandcamp upload, and the album was leaked for 2 days. So when the pre-orders went live on Friday of last week, the whole album was leaked for 2 days before I realized that you could listen to it. And then I fixed it. But then I don't think it's done us any harm, because those people that did listen to it are actually talking about it and encouraging more people to buy it and pre-order it. So, you know, it could have been a cunning marketing plan, but I don't think
it was, surely. It was a cunning marketing plan.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, I can't say, actually. So I wasn't the only one that noticed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone's
good.
Like, oh, the album's out today. I'm like, no, it's not. No, what are you talking about? Like, well, you can listen to it. I'm like, well, you shouldn't be able to. Hold on a minute. Let me have a look.
Yeah. That's great. But thank you for spending time with me tonight. And I look forward to the rest of the album, and all the best for the release.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shane. It's been wonderful to talk to you again, and we really appreciate your support.
I love the music you put out.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
And you.
And you, Shay. Take care.
Cheers.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzroll Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from iPad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.